Jeff Rentz of Societies on the radio, and my guest, Jordan Maxwell. You're welcome to call in. We have only one line open, I think, now, 1-888-ON-RADIO. Got a very disturbing quotation from Norio Hayakawa, guest on this program. Norio, well-known to many of you. It was made by Attorney General Janet Reno on the 60 Minutes program, June 26, 1994, almost 4 years ago. I read this to you. It is Janet Reno responding to a question posed by someone to ask her to define what she thought a cultist, a member of a cult, is. And I'm going to quote now. A cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of financial giving to a Christian cause, who homeschools for their children, who has accumulated survival foods and has a strong belief in the Second Amendment, and who distrusts big government.
Well,
and there's more. Any of these people may qualify, but certainly more than one of these activities would cause us to look at this person as a threat and his family as being in a risk situation that qualified for government interference, end quote.
Well, nothing needs to be said on that one. There's no clarification needed on that. What an outrageous, absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, view. Well, and for all of you listening, that is a quote from our United States Attorney General, Janet Reno. 60 Minutes, June 26, 1994. A cult member, Jordan, seems to be, when we got into this whole cult issue 10, 15 years ago on the Cult Awareness Network, which has largely been condemned by many as being a CIA tool, Cult Awareness Network. Very simple to call someone a member of a cult. They have the public now. They have the public now so conditioned that the word has become almost frightful to some people, as has the word patriot, which has been corrupted through the mainstream media, thanks to the Oklahoma City catastrophe, to mean something that is a threat to the fabric of this country. Let me read that. I'm going to read that again more quickly.
Yes, do it.
A cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of financial giving to a Christian cause, who homeschools for their children, who has accumulated survival foods and has a strong belief in the Second Amendment, and who distrusts big government. Any of these may qualify, but certainly more than one of these activities would cause us to look at this person as a threat and his family as being in a risk situation that qualified for government interference. End quote.
Qualifies for government interference?
That's what it says.
Well.
Such as Waco. Such as Ruby Ridge.
That's right. We can go down the line. This country has been under assault for many, many, many years that people do not even begin to suspect. Those are merely some of the outward blemishes on the skin that come to the skin. But anytime you see a bad blemish comes on the skin, it's because of something in the blood, something in the body politics that's festering. And it pops up in Ruby Ridge or Waco, but that's not the problem. Ruby Ridge and Waco are not the problem. It's something else bigger yet.
Well, Oklahoma City is a large boil on the social consciousness of this country, symptomatic of something very deep, of
that's
course.
Right. And, something very, very deep, and this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. I haven't, up until now, talked about anything really serious, which I can do. I do 2 and 3 day seminars, 8 to 10 hours a day, of course, we don't have 25 to 30 hours. That's why I seem to be jumping around. And I've had people tell me that when I'm on the radio, they say, well, you jump around too much. Well, let me explain myself. The reason I jump around is because you only have an hour and a half. You only have less than 70 minutes to get the point across. Well, my point being that our words, our terms, our logos, our symbols, our emblems, our flags, our coats of arms, our entire world that we live in is guided by what we see and what we say and what we believe. And consequently, you need to start looking at the occult side of things, the hidden side of symbols and emblems, and why certain things are the way they are, and where do we get these terms? Why do we call people who practice something called, quote, at law, end quote, lawyers? Why do we call them lawyers? Why are they called attorneys? Why do we call a judge rules from a court? And most people do not know the reason why judges rule from a court is because it has to do with the commercial code. The bench, when you talk about the judge rules from the bench, the word bench is a Latin word for bank. Consequently, in point of fact, all courtrooms are commercial under commercial law, and consequently the judge represents the bank. That's why he sits on the bench. Bench is Latin for bank, banco. And consequently, judges, as I said, wear black robes because banking is the territory of the priest of Saturn, the old Saturnalian priesthood. Up on the hill, as we were talking before, up on the hill, when Caesar would go, quote, up on the hill, end quote, and incidentally, the very word hill goes back to the old Phoenician Canaanite word for God. The old ancient Sumerian word for God also was connected. God was ill, I-L, and later on it was Illes, I-L-L-E-S. The Illes or the Ills were the gods, like we got Illinois, illumination. Ills were the gods, and consequently they would rule from up on high, so therefore where the gods rule were up on the hill, H-I-L-L, ill. Mm-hmm. And so therefore once you understand the terms, and that's why Caesar would rule in the Roman Empire from up on the hill, then...
A lot of people on the phone, Jordan. Let's get some calls in here.
Well, let me read a quotation from C.S.
Sure.
Lewis, a quickie.
Sure.
C.S. Lewis wrote, and I love this, it says, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. It is easy to say that you believe that a rope is strong as long as you're merely tying a box. But suppose you had to hang the rope over a precipice tied to it. Wouldn't you first of all discover really how much you could trust this thing?" End quote. And so consequently, that's exactly what I'm saying, that we don't take any of these emblems and words and terms very serious because we don't realize how serious they are unless, of course, you are called into a, quote, court, end quote. And then all of a sudden, now you see the hand of government. And now you need what is called lawyers or attorneys because why? Because there is a whole world of terms, occult, hidden implications of symbols and words and terms. And therefore the attorney is referred to as your mouthpiece. He knows how to talk the talk.
That's right.
He knows how to walk the walk. And therefore now you begin to see how the entire judicial court, governmental, religio-political system is a whole series of symbols and words and terms which have been dreamt up by the secret societies and the ancient orders of priesthood and have been foisted upon us today, and we are too busy watching television and entertaining ourselves and working ourselves to death to earn a dollar to even look on the back of a dollar and realize the profound significance of why that emblem is on the back of a $1 bill and the implications for it. Our country is in very serious trouble, and I would respectfully suggest that the reason for why we are in the trouble is because we have not done what the Founding Fathers suggested that we needed to do, and that is stay vigilant. Vigilant to read, research, don't buy anybody's story. Don't buy any of it. Research, do it for yourself, represent yourself, you are a sovereign. Don't believe anything just because someone tells you. Do your own research, stand on your own feet, and defend your own rights, and be your own person. And if you don't defend your rights, according to the law, you have none. And consequently, when you begin to look at the symbols and things, you know, another classic example is when you kiss your child, you kiss your wife, you kiss your husband, you kiss your baby. Kissing is a form of showing the affection of ownership. It's the affection of ownership. I mean, you kissed the new car you bought. You kissed your child. But why? Because the child is in law. The child is a part of you. Consequently, that's a symbol. You better find out why, when the Pope comes to America, he kisses the ground. That is a Knights of Malta symbol of ownership. You better look at this stuff.
Okay, we are back. Sightings on the Radio. I'm Jeff Rentz. Jordan Maxwell, my guest. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. I promised Stan Friedman, our guest for the first half of the program tonight, I would redo his address. His video is just marvelous, and he's offering it for $20 postpaid. Put $20 in an envelope if you are interested at all in the field of UFOs and ETs, and watch Stanton just do his wonderful best to lay the evidence out there. You can send it to just Stan Friedman or just UFO to Box 958, Holton, H-O-U-L-T-O-N, Maine, that's spelled M-E, abbreviated M-E, Holton, Maine, Box 958-04730-0958. And if you just want free information, send him a regular white business-size envelope with a stamp on it, and you'll get four double-sided pages back. Getting some email already asking Jordan for that quote to be put up on my website. Thanks to my webmaster, James Neff. James Neff, it is already up there, and James put together a great banner. So it's right at the top of the homepage for everyone to take a look at and to think about.
Let me say something about Stanton Friedman.
Sure.
Stanton Friedman represents, in my mind, one of the most legitimate, the most sensational researchers in the field of ufology, one of the most legitimate. I am very, very impressed with Stanton Friedman because he knows what he's talking about. He's a very legitimate authority, and I have the highest of respect for Stanton Friedman and for his work and for what he does. So I just wanted to say that I feel that his work is very, very important.
He's really one of the great figures of our time.
No doubt.
Good. Glad you said that. Let's go to the telephones and welcome Mark to the program, listening to the program tonight, as he probably does often on KQSB 990 AM in Santa Barbara. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Jordan.
Hi there.
Well, one comment I'd like to make is, you know, concerning the Reno statement, the way she described it, that just about would probably include about half the Republican Party.
Probably so.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Jordan, my question, and you answered some of it while I was on hold. A lot of your explanation concerning the historical aspect of these symbols,
mm-hmm.
I'm having a little difficulty going beyond the historical aspect. I don't see necessarily the relevance of what it has to do today. And what I'd like to use to illustrate that is, like, if let's say that we take the Jehovah Witnesses, and if they, you know, I'm a Catholic Christian, and if I'm engaging in a debate with a Jehovah Witness, they will tell me that, you know, I shouldn't celebrate Christmas,
mm-hmm.
because it's a pagan holiday, and, you know, et cetera. I'm sure you've heard the argument.
Well, of course.
But from my perspective, it's relevant that it's just Christ's birthday, and I'm honoring his birthday. And thus, I don't really care if it replaced a sun god or whatever the holiday was that, you know,
yeah,
got it started. So
well,
I'd like to get your comment on that.
Well, I would say this, that I think I did pretty much answer that at the very beginning when I said that most people do not really appreciate the implication of symbols. And that is why the apparatus has been built up slowly but surely over a long period of time. Slowly but surely, the apparatus has been put in place. The web has been woven slowly but surely because around us, just like Jonathan Swift or the story where the giant is laying on the ground sleeping and the little guys, the little creatures come around and they tie him up. They cannot tie him with a big rope. They're not big enough to do that. So they tie him down with 1,000 little ones.
But,
and consequently, the giant wakes up and he's totally tied to the earth and he's totally tied down and helpless with thousands of little tie-ups. And so consequently, I feel the same way about symbols. Not one symbol is important, but just the whole conceptual use of symbols in the ancient world, the Middle Ages, and today, the symbols on the White House, all the departments in government and churches, cathedrals, colleges, universities, symbols of football teams, all of these things mean something. And of course, the great majority, when used like a football symbol, is just to denote a particular team. However, then there are those other symbols which are very important, like a fasces. And in the on the back of the Mercury dime was a fasci on both sides of the presidential podium, where the president gives his State of the Union message, are two 7 to 8 foot high fasci standing on both sides of the president. These symbols represent a totalitarian fascist world government. And of course, if you haven't spent 39 years in the world of the occult and know the significance of words and terms and blood sacrifices and all of that kind of stuff, if you haven't involved yourself in that kind of a study for almost 40 years, you will, of course, not see the significance of it. And consequently, that's why, as I said at the beginning, this web has been woven over the nation, because too many people in the nation are like you. They just don't see the significance of it.
Well, I'm interested in, very interested, like when you come on the show, hearing your explanations. I mean, it's fascinating, but it almost gets to the point where I'm asked to believe that it's a big conspiracy and that all these people are diabolically planning, what, a takeover, and it's a concerted effort throughout the ages, like they're, I don't know what, families
that
have carried it on,
or... Well, I thought you said you were a Catholic Christian.
I am.
Or are you not aware that in the Bible, the scriptures are filled from Matthew to Revelation with the one and only story in the entire New Testament? Being that there is a demonic force in the universe which seeks to control, manipulate, and ultimately destroy something good on the earth, like the human race. I mean, are you totally unaware of that scenario?
Okay, Mark, we're going to get your answer to that question after our break. We have to take a slight time out here, and we'll be back to hear from Mark and Jordan Maxwell tonight, Sightings on the Radio. I'm Jeff Rentz. See you in a couple minutes. And here we go, merrily rolling on tonight with Jordan Maxwell, and Mark is on the phone now. Go ahead, Mark, and respond to Jordan's question to you, if you would.
Well, Jordan, I would say that I would see that as a possibility, but I actually would like to ask you, is that the way you see it?
Well, I would go back to the way, and people have heard me know my view on the scriptures, but I would recall for you, I think, during the break, I was pretty much flabbergasted thinking about the comment. Here you are claiming publicly to be a Christian, and yet the concept of a world conspiracy against the good is foreign to you. I think that this is something I need to comment on. I think that
Mark, hold on.
Okay.
Don't interrupt.
I think that this is something I need to comment on. I think that this is appalling that a Christian would find the concept that the Bible has Jesus saying, I didn't say this, the Bible has Jesus saying that the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. And in the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament books I recall reading, it says, quote, "The kings of the earth have conspired against my Holy One." That's in the book of Psalms, I think. The entire Old Testament and New Testament is replete with quotes about how the devil or the prince of darkness or the evil one who is in control of the world is conspiring against the good people, the good and the earth. And yet this concept of an international world conspiratorial apparatus is foreign to you as a Christian. And I just find that to be absolutely appalling. I mean, I'm fascinated by how you could be a Christian and not understand the concept.
Okay, well, Mark, it's your turn, but we don't want to go on all night.
I'll try and be succinct. I'll close with this. My response to that would simply be that I'm very cautious to point a finger and to say, oh, this is demonic, or oh, this is, I would rather substitute it with, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my cautious response to something like that.
Well,
I mean, I would rather know
that.
More about exactly where you're coming from, whether you feel it's a demonic thing or satanic or however you want to label
well,
it.
Well, those are labels we throw around, and I think we're talking basically about, may simplify it to dark and light, if you will, and keep it a little bit easier to comprehend. The dark forces of dark, people who think dark controlling, rather self-serving, selfish, rude thoughts, and then there are others who are givers, on the other hand. It's really an old story, and we're not going to come to a resolution tonight, but thanks, Mark, very much.
Thank you for the time.
You betcha.
Thank you. I'm amazed.
Well, okay, he's in search. We're all in search. And,
I understand that, but the very concept of Christianity teaches that mm-hmm. there is a devil. I'm not saying I necessarily adhere to that, but maybe I do, maybe I don't, but that's irrelevant. To the point I'm making is that the scriptures are very clear, and I mean, my goodness, I don't know what to say and how to answer that, that we have a Christian who thinks that there is no such a thing as conspiracy. Everything just happens by chance.
Well, you know,
I don't care about that, but he's a Christian.
Right. Looking back at our recorded history and even before that, it has always, in my opinion, been one of moving toward the goal of ever increasing the expansiveness of the control of the population on this planet, whether it's by a city-state, by nation, by confederation of nations. Now we have the technology to allow it through economic means to extend worldwide, which is really what's happening.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
And the logical progression to a one-world government has been talked about for centuries by people, and I think we're looking at a logical progression here. Unfortunately, many of the people at the controls are not the folks I would choose to be up there pulling the levers, but they have a lot of power. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Gary to the program, listening to us on KRKO in Everett. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Jeff and Jordan.
Hi there, Gary.
Boy, Jordan, you need to be on Jeff's show five days straight. Maybe
I totally agree with you.
Break the tip of the iceberg.
let's tell Jeff that.
He heard it here.
You mentioned the number 12 earlier, and that reminded me of a number that in my personal research in UFO ET stuff, it's focused pretty much on the occult and paranormal aspects of that phenomenon, and
mm-hmm.
a number kept hitting me on the head all through that for the past several years, and sometimes just wouldn't let me alone, and it's led me to a search for what I call on my website the Secret of Nine. And the number is 9, and I wondered what you might have to say about that number, or if you have noticed anything regarding
yes.
that number.
Yes, interesting. You know, on the presidential seal on the right-hand side, the eagle, which is a symbol in Babylon, the old ancient Babylonian symbol was an eagle with its spread wings, but you will find that the tail feathers are 9. There are 9 tail feathers. 9, according to the mystic tradition, was a satanic or an evil number because it was the tripling of the triune God, the triune God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Isis, Horus, Osiris, the triune trinity, and three times the trinity is nine, and as I said, the eagle has nine feathers on it, on its tail. And then, of course, in occult Freemasonry, there is a lot of talk about the Council of Nine. And so I see significance in the number nine, yeah.
I also
it's numerology, but I think it's significant.
I've noticed that it goes extremely deep. And I also realize that when you're looking for something, you can find it anywhere.
That's
but
right.
I think that this has gone way beyond chance from the 666, which equals 18, but that's...
Yep.
One plus the eight is nine in serial English Kabbalah. But it's gone so far as that I've found that the dimensions of Noah's Ark, when the cubits are translated into inches, they also equal nine. And I could go on all night, but I'm curious to know, and maybe you can't tell me. Maybe we're both looking for it.
I think so.
You know, there's another expression, somebody's dressed up very well. Remember that one?
No.
Dressed to the nines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah,
okay.
Interesting.
All right.
Well, thank you, Jordan.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, I'd like to also throw in here at this point saying that, as I said before, I have been told that by individuals who call me later and say, but you were jumping around too much.
Yeah, well, Jordan, you've got 37 years of research here, and you're trying to collate it and pull out salient points for people who are asking, in some cases, pretty obscure questions. It's not easy to do, so don't apologize, not to worry about that.
Well, that's what I was trying to say, is that what I'm trying to do with the interview is not give an in-depth, footnoted documentary that you would do in a university over 2 weeks. I'm just trying to give you a flavor of the kind of thing that I do, the kind of thing that has held my attention for almost 40 years and I grew up listening to, how words and terms and symbols and things all around you mean something. And you know, if you don't know symbols, you'll run right through a red stop sign and never realize, you know, you could just get killed doing that.
Sure. Those are the markers that you have to follow to get to the answer, as much as we can get to the answer. We have received an email, which we're going to deal with after the break, from W. Robert Nelson. Thank you, Mr. Nelson, very much for doing the research. It is regarding the Janet Reno quote.
Oh, yes.
Which appears to be a hoax. So we're going to deal with that and straighten the record out, as we always do here. Compliments of the research of W. Robert Nelson as we continue with Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Okay, we are back, and one of the great things about the Internet is so many of you out there using it and sending material to me right during the program. We read the quote about Janet Reno, one of the most devastating quotes that you could ever read, allegedly made by a government official. It appears now that that is a bogus quote, and I want to set this 100% straight. Debbie Robert Nelson was kind enough to send this over. It is apparently an editorial written by Mr. Joseph P. Tartaro, the executive editor of the New Gun Week. This appeared April 28, 1995. This is the latest. It's a lengthy letter. I'm going to jump down to the part that someone asked the government to respond about that quote, and they asked very directly, did she or did she not make that quotation? And if I could find the place right now here, the Justice Department replied to the Reno quote. This responds to your January 23rd letter inquiring about Attorney General Reno's alleged statement on the television program 60 Minutes, defining a cultist. The plain fact is, says the Justice Department, that the quote is a hoax. The Attorney General has never been interviewed on 60 Minutes. She has never discussed cults or tried to define one. There is nothing in the counterfeit quote that guides government policy. The quote first appeared to our knowledge in the August 1993 Paul Revere newsletter of the Christian Defense League in Flora, Illinois. The information came by telephone from a woman in Florida whose name was not noted. The newsletter subsequently ran a retraction. Bogus quotes seem to be part of the political landscape these days. It is reassuring that your office, Mr. Tartaro's, was skeptical. As for those portions of the January 23rd letter that deal with operations of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and so on and so forth, there are some other matters in the letter that he addressed. So Mr. Tartaro finishes up by saying, Hold on, this is about 30 paragraphs long. People are still believing what they want to believe, given Reno's other public statements, her public record in Florida and in federal office, and her responsibility for both the good and the bad of the Justice Department. It is not hard to understand why people might believe the cultist definition statement attributed to her. So apparently what we have here is a quote that has taken on a life of its own and run around the Internet most recently. It's a knockout quote, but we want to lay it on the line here. According to the Justice Department in 1995, it is a bogus quote, it is a hoax, and we want to make real sure that that's plain to all of you. So, there we are, and we'll try and get that together and put that up on the website as well. Okay, Jordan.
Now, are we to assume by that the government has never done such a thing itself?
No, of course.
Okay.
Of course not.
Good. I feel much better knowing that the government has never tricked us.
That is... Again, though, an official letter from the Justice Department, which has not been successfully challenged to our knowledge since it was issued in 95. So we're going to have to chalk this particular quote up, apparently, to the bogus box, and so file it.
Well, I'll tell you something that you will not be able to put in the bogus box, and that is the outright deception by the federal government, who has also issued many, many, many bogus pronouncements.
How about countless?
Countless bogus pronouncements. And as far as I'm concerned, that whole thing about someone who distrusts government, distrust is not what I feel. I grew up in a household of federal judges, attorneys, politicians, religious leaders, Vatican officials.
Mm-hmm.
I do not distrust government. I don't even consider government. It is, as far as I'm concerned, nothing but organized crime. I consider the federal government, and this is my opinion, the federal government, in my personal opinion, is organized crime at the highest levels. I will recall to you that in the third movie, Godfather 3, there is a beautiful quote in there, and there's a lot of good one-liners in the Godfather movies. But in the third one, toward the end of the movie, Michael, who is now the Godfather, who has grown old, goes out onto the porch, and you get the movie and rent it, and you'll see.
Yeah, I remember.
He sits on the terrace of the porch with his sister, and he says, "You know, sister, when I was growing up, I used to think that the higher up you went in the world, and the higher you would go in the world of government and business, the more orderly and more lawful things were." He says, "Now I look back on my life and understand just the opposite is true. The higher you go, the more criminal it is." And once you understand the whole concept of the divine right of kings, where that term came from, when you understand the entire concept of how business, commercial law, international maritime admiralty law operates, when you understand universal commercial code that is based directly on Vatican canon law, if you understand the federal government of the United States is in point of fact an entity connected directly to the Vatican, when you understand that the St. Peter's Basilica, and the very word basilica in Latin means kingdom, and St. Peter's kingdom is crowned with a dome in St. Peter's, because the word domus has a Latin meaning of God or the presence of God, and the dome in the Vatican is identical to the Washington, D.C.'s capital domus, and the fasci symbols are the symbols of world fascism that sit on each side of the president. And if you understand that the president, the vice president, are not the president and vice president of this country of America, they are the president of a privately owned corporation in which the federal, the whole entire superstructure of the federal government is connected directly behind the scenes by law, by commercial law, to the Catholic Church and to the Pope. If you understand the Federal Reserve System connecting to the international banking cartels and the connection between our government and international criminal syndicates such as the Mafia, La Cosa Nostra, and in the Middle East, if you understand government and religion and politics and world economic situations like I grew up listening to people who worked in the Vatican Secretary of State, you well know that government and the international intrigue going on behind the world is filled with lies and deception. And as far as I'm concerned, I am absolutely outraged at this government and the people who run it and the people who have manipulated my country and my own people and have left us to be paupers in our own country. So don't tell me, I'm telling anyone who might be working with government, well, that was not a true statement. Well, that may not have been a correct and true statement, but I can tell you that government is filled with lies and deception. Courts are filled with lies and deception. The entire world is covered with lies, deception, manipulation, exploitation, and propaganda. So I've had enough of all of them. We in this country have got the best attorneys and priests and holy men and government officials that money can buy. So as far as I'm concerned, anyone connected with government telling me, well, that was not a true statement. It may not have been, but that don't let government off the hook of all the lies that they have fed us from day one.
Of course, and that's certainly in the view of many, more than accurately reflects the true mindset of the government.
You better believe it
does. Nonetheless, so, but we have to be accurate about attributing quotes.
And I totally agree with that.
Why we bring that up. Boy, and if it weren't a real quote, they couldn't have come up with something that would more closely approximate what appears to be going on. So let's leave it at that at the moment.
Absolutely.
We only have a couple of minutes, Jordan. Let's try and get one call in here real quickly. John calling in from BC, Canada, listening on KRKO. Hi, John. Thanks for being patient, and very quickly, please.
All right. Good evening. Jordan, I always enjoy listening to you. Just off the top here, 9, it's the inversion of 6.
Mm, okay.
Very computer friendly in a binary type of setup.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I wanted to call you about, though, was I found it kind of humorous. I received an invitation to get another credit card. Citibank, the cover of their invitation has a big rose.
Oh.
So you flip the page and you look at the card, very beautiful card, and the name of the person on the card is Lucy Mason. it's all
Lucy Mason. That's pretty cute.
I'm finished. That's it for the evening.
That's pretty amazing.
That's amazing.
Well, that's what I had to say. I always enjoy your programs, John.
Thank you.
Thanks,
very
John.
Much.
That's a great one.
That's sensational.
You'd like that for your collection, wouldn't you, Jordan?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I would really like that for my collection.
Let's give an address. People can write for information also about your materials. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a book and a video and several other items, especially the book and the video. It's called Symbols, Sex, and the Stars. It's a 90-minute video and a 396-page accompanying book. Video and book. The address you can write to is 19528. That's 19528. Ventura, Ventura Boulevard. 19528 Ventura Boulevard. Suite 449. That's important. Suite 449, Tarzana, California. Tarzana, California, 91356. And if you would like to have the book and the video combination, the 90-minute video, 396-page book on sex, symbol, and the stars, I mean, everything's in there. It's $55 for the two. And just make the check out to BBC of A. I like the BBC in England. BBC of A. And send it to that address. And
they can leave the check blank, can't they?
Yeah, they could do that, too.
A lot of people do that.
Just sign it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, $55. We'll have Jordan back on for all of you Maxwell fans, and there are many from coast to coast. We'll have Jordan back on very soon
to continue this discussion.
Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And, John, if you got the address correctly, do send Jordan one of those. Maybe you can get another one from the credit card company that mailed those out. That's I got to hand it to you. That was the kicker for the night, for sure. That's our program for the night. Boy, where did the 3 hours go? Gone. Hope you learned a little bit more about this planet and world of ours. And tomorrow night, Wednesday, Michael Lindemann will be here for his regular weekly UFO ET update and much more for you tomorrow night. So until then, thanks again for spending your time with me. Stay warm, stay well, and we'll talk soon.